We're looking at the title today. It's called Breaking the Mold, or you could say Breaking the Pattern, but I'm talking about Breaking the Mold. And it's based on 1 Peter. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. I don't know if you've ever done this. In the summer, sometimes I recline by the pool, go for a swim, and then afterwards I sit in one of those plastic wicker chairs, and I'm talking with friends and family, and I'm lying there for like an hour, and then when I get up and walk away, everybody starts laughing. Why? Because I have I take the chair with me. It's imprinted on my back. There's like this wicker pattern all imprinted into my back. And this is something that happens, and this is what we're talking about today, and that is that whatever you lean on imprints on you. That if you are leaning into a mold, you will become like that which you lean into, that which you put your weight on and your trust in will imprint on you, not just shape-wise, but character and integrity and all the different areas of your life are affected by what you trust in. When I was a kid, we used to have this stuff called, I think it was plastine or plasticine or something. And I don't know if they still have it. Today, kids use Play-Doh. You know, we had the good stuff, right? It had lead, cadmium, chromium. So if you had the really good stuff, there's some that even had a little bit of mercury and some even with asbestos somehow cross-contaminated in it. But it was the good stuff. Didn't dry out like your modern-day Play-Doh. And as kids, we would play with this moldable, malleable stuff, and we would mix it around and make things out of it. But one of our favorite games was this, and maybe my sisters would remember this if they're watching online, but we would take that and we would imprint it. Have you ever done this? We would take it, and there's five of us all together. I have four sisters, and we would all take our piece, and we'd go around the house, and we would push it on something and get a print on it, and then we would come back together, and then we tried to guess what it was, and then we would go on a scavenger hunt adventure, and we would end up finding it. And once you see it, it was very obvious that this is what was imprinted. This is the mold that you use to create that pattern. And that's the whole idea behind this today, is that we need to, as believers in Jesus Christ, break the old mold. That we need to break out of the old patterns, and that we need to come into a new pattern. And this is done in three ways. First and foremost, it is done as we understand that we are now brought out of the family of darkness, out of disobedience and into the family of light and brought into the family of obedience. And second, we're going to learn that it also happens as our desires change. You cannot make change in your life apart from a change in desires. And finally, we're going to look at what the pattern is and how we can spend time allowing our lives to be conformed to that pattern. And so let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's all stand up together as we read this passage. Now remember, the context of this is that Peter has told us all the amazing things God has done for us. And then last week we broke into it and we talked about trusting fully. Put your trust fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you in Christ Jesus. We talked about girding up the loins of our mind, pulling up those loose ends of our thoughts. We talked about being sober-minded, having our mind focused. And now this is what Peter tells us in verse 14. He says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That is God's word. Let's sit down. I want you to notice something here in this passage, and this is what I want you to see. That Peter does not start here by barking out some orders. He doesn't start yelling at them to get their lives straight and start obeying God. He starts out by saying, as obedient children. He starts out, the structure here is that he starts out by reminding them of the family that they are in. Once again, if you're taking notes, that's where we're going. A new family, a new desire, and a new pattern. You see, the New Testament uses this family resemblance language continually throughout the New Testament. Paul speaks about it in Ephesians 2:2. He says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Do you see the family language there? They were sons of disobedience. Now we are obedient children. Children of obedience is the literal Greek. So sons of disobedience, and now we are obedient children or children of obedience. Now, Ephesians 5:6, he warns us, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, this phrase, sons of disobedience, doesn't just mean somebody who disobeys once in a while. It's their very nature. And many of you can attest to this. Before you came to Jesus Christ, you lived in rebellion against God. Whether or not you even knew it in your mind that you were living in this way, you, in your very core of your being, were living in a rebellion against a holy and a righteous God. You were a son of disobedience. You were a child. Another passage talks about them as children of darkness, but now they are light in the Lord. You went from the family of darkness, from Satan's family, to God's family. You see, you aren't just neutral. You aren't just in between. You can't be in between on this. You are either in one state or in the other state. There's no sitting down in the middle. Jesus talked about this. He talked about, your father is the devil. You are either a child of disobedience and of darkness or a child of light. And so this is where he starts. He says in Ephesians 5:8, Paul tells us, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, I want you guys just to slow down your minds a minute here, because we always reverse these things in our minds. And these things are so important. They are so vital that we get this. And that is that God does never starts with a command. He always starts with relationship. He always starts by telling us that we are now in his family. We are his children. It's never, if you do good enough, you might deserve to be in my family. If you climb the ladder, you might be able to get high enough to be a part of these children of obedience. If you obey enough, then you will be my child. But rather, he tells us that we are children, as obedient children. You see, Christianity is different than any other religion, isn't it? You see, other religions, they start with, you need to sacrifice, you need to do this, you need to do that. In fact, many religions even require that you would be willing to die, and if you die, then you have attained. Christianity starts with this: God in Jesus Christ died for you. Christianity starts with Jesus dying for us and giving us eternal life. And because he has died for us, we come before him and we are made holy. Let me even say it more direct. The holiness of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 is not that behavior earns sonship, but rather that behavior expresses sonship. It's a huge difference there. Behavior does not earn your place in the family of God. Your place in the family of God is expressed through your behavior. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see those words there? Created according to God. This is what God desires for you, that you would be created according to him. And so first, you're in the family. Second, you receive a new desire. Let's look again at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. He says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, to the former desires, the desires that you used to have, that patterns that you used to fall into. And so here in this passage, he's telling us that we need a new desire. That's what it's talking about with the word lust. It is strong desires. You see, Peter doesn't treat your past as merely a list of wrong actions. He traces it even deeper for us and allows us to see that our past was a desire-shaped life that formed us. It molded us into what we are. A couple weeks ago, I was out in the bush here getting some wood because I got a wood boiler and I'm heating my garage and my sunroom and in the pool house and the house and heating a bunch of stuff. And then I realized, oh man, I need more wood. I was getting a trailer, running through a trailer every 3 days till I realized someone in the pool house turned it up to 31 degrees. So I was in a bit of panic mode. I was like, I'm leaving for the Philippines and I can't keep up with this. And then I go in the pool house and it's a sauna. I'm like, no wonder I'm burning all this wood. Anyways, I was in the bush filling the trailer, had it right full, and it is heavy. This is heavy wood, and I just have it heaped full. And then I'm trying to get out, and I'm stuck. I created a rut for myself, and I'm going back and forth, and I'm trying to pull out of the rut. And, you know, I'm thinking, I don't want to have to empty this trailer again because that was a lot of work. And so I gun it, and I pull out, and every time I just slid back into that rut. You see, this is by nature what happens. If we're not intentional, we will find ourselves constantly going back into the same old ruts. If we don't change our desires, we'll find ourselves going back into the same pattern, don't we? Why? Because we were created in such a way that we follow patterns. And so Peter's telling us, do not conform to those former lusts. Do not conform yourself to those old patterns. But how do we break out of it? Well, if the old patterns were lustful desires, if they were desire-based patterns that drove us in that direction, we need to change our desire. You see, you can't change without a new desire. I learned this years ago on the farm. My dad told me to go out in the field. He says, there's a cow, had a calf. I need you to bring her in. We got to milk her. And I wasn't a very logical person. I was always distracted and daydreaming, so I just went out there and I started chasing the cow around, trying to chase it in the barn, and I would get it close to the barn and it would evade me and run back out into the corner of the field again. I would run again, back and forth, back, and finally my dad came out. What's taking you so long, Wes? You're not very good farmer material here. No, he wouldn't say that. He's always so kind to me, but he's like, Wes, he says, I thought I showed you how to do this. And he goes out in the field and he grabs that slimy newborn calf, picks it up and walks in the barn. And guess what the cow does? Follows him. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been running around here for 30 minutes, just dying, chasing this cow. And of course, it doesn't matter how much I pressure, how much I yell, how much I wave my arms. And if I throw clumps of mud at the cow, it didn't matter what I did to try to chase or corral this cow. I needed to change the direction of its desire. The moment that my dad walked in the barn, the cow just trotted behind him like, yeah, there's my calf. I felt really foolish at that time, and yet we chase our behaviors, don't we? We try to chase our behaviors into the barn. We try to corral our behaviors and change our direction by yelling and getting worked up and being mad at ourselves and reading another self-help book. You know the problem with self-help books is? One word, self. You know, not saying you can't get good tips and good information in those books, but you only have so much willpower and you spend it on one area and then you just find yourself hurting in another area. I tell you, we need a new desire. You see, we've been placed in a new family, but we need to place our desires where they need to be. My question is where are your desires? What has your attraction? What is your calf that leads you into the barn? What keeps you out away, out in the wilderness? What is it that is drawing and affecting your life? Such an important question. Here's hope. In the gospel does not command, God doesn't just command new desires. He gives you new desires through the good news of Jesus Christ. He develops in you these new desires. And so how does this happen? We learn this by pattern. And so Peter, what he does is he moves from desire to pattern, and he does this through two areas, the character of God and the word of God. You knew I was going there. A new pattern, verse 15 tells us, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Notice the order here. Peter doesn't say, be holy so that God will call you. He says, but as he who called you is holy, be holy. The order again is so important. You don't earn yourself into the family. You don't become holy just because you want to become holy. You become holy because he who called you is holy. You set your heart on him. Calling always precedes command. Grace always precedes growth. And what does he say? Be holy in some of your conduct. No, all of your conduct, all of your life, your tone with your spouse, your honesty at work, your purity in private, your generosity with money, your patience with traffic, your integrity online, your forgiveness when you're hurt. Holiness isn't just a Sunday fit, right? We stand in front of the mirror, check what we're wearing. I always check my reels, see what I've worn the last six Sundays. So handy. Thank you, Ronnie. That's how I do my Sunday fit. Holiness isn't your Sunday fit. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every day of the week, we need the imprint of a holy Father. We need God to imprint his person on us. It's a beautiful thing, this family characteristic. We see it so clearly. We see it in our own kids, don't we? Some things jump a generation even. You know, the other day I was watching Atticus sitting at the table waiting for the food to come out, and he did a total Leonard Armstrong. His head went down, his eyes went up, his dark brown eyes, and he stared at that food as it crossed over to someone else and sat on the table. And he had this look, and I was just like, oh my goodness, Leonard just copy-pasted himself into his grandson. But on the other hand, when I look at Atticus, I so much see his father. I see this spitting image of his father as Tate was growing up, and his character, his attitudes, just it's family. And out of that, Atticus has a desire to be like his dad, which is mostly really good. But here's the beautiful thing. We have a holy father. We can never go wrong with desiring to have every characteristic that he offers to us. And this happens as we spend time in his presence, following the pattern laid out in his holy word. This book is so important. This is the grounds of our pattern. You see, culture is not our pattern. Some Christians think that the culture is a pattern to follow. Just like, are you crazy? This culture is not our pattern. What they tell you in the news is not your pattern to follow. You don't follow the cultures and the trends. Some Christians think that the pattern is to not do anything the world does. We gotta not wear buttons or zippers, and we gotta try to make sure that we don't have anything that the world has. And that's not what Peter's talking about. He's talking about a pattern set out in Scripture that conforms us not to this world, but transforms us by the renewing of our mind so that we can think and act and be like Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the living Word of God. We have the Word of God, and Jesus is the living Word of God. That's why John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Jesus is the Word of God. We have the Word of God written. We have the living Word, and both of them are totally in line with each other, 100%. And so the reason I say that is as you spend time with the Spirit of God in the Word of God, you are spending time with the person of Jesus Christ. And you are, as Paul tells us in Corinthians, being changed from one glory to another. You are being made in the image of God, and you are putting yourself under Him and allowing that pattern to be developed in your life. And those old conformities, those old molds, they're broken. Doesn't happen overnight, does it? Sometimes you're driving along and all of a sudden you find yourself falling into an old rut, an old pattern. You're like, have you ever thought that? Like, I thought I was done with that. I thought that was over. As long as you're in this flesh, you are going to struggle with those old ruts and those old patterns. But I tell you, and I want to give you hope today, that the more time you spend with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the more your mind is going to be patterned after the character of God. There is hope to be had. Some of you look at your life and you're just like, you know what, I'm here at church, but I'll never break out of my old patterns. I'm always gonna struggle with this for the rest of my life. I'll never have freedom. I wanna tell you, you will always battle, but you will have freedom and confidence in the Holy Spirit's ability to change the way that you think and the way that you act. Many of you are reading through the Bible with us in a year, and I love that. Some of you are reading through the New Testament. I love that. Some of you are just, for the first time this year, just picking up some Bible plants. And I love it because I know that you are being patterned after your Heavenly Father. You're in His family. Your desires are changing, and you're being patterned to act and to speak to the glory of God. And tomorrow, you're going to come back into Leviticus, many of you. And some of you are kind of looking at this thinking, oh my goodness, what is this all about? You're reading it. It's like all this stuff about clean and unclean and regulations and sacrifice. And you might be thinking, what does this have to do with me? But did you know that Peter is quoting Leviticus here? Because he says this, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And that's many times throughout Leviticus. It says those words. And you look at it, and you're like, well, what's Leviticus have to do with us? Everything. So tomorrow, as you sit down to read Leviticus chapter 11, because that's your passage for the day, and you get to verse 44 and 45, you're going to read these words. "For I am the Lord, your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." He goes on later on in verse 45 to say, "For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy because I am holy." Do you see the same pattern here again? He's bringing them through redemption out of Egypt to be His people. He redeems them first, and then He says, "Be holy because I am holy." A holy God has called us out, and now He's calling us to spend time in His presence and to become more like Him. It always hits me every time when I'm reading through, I forget, it's Deuteronomy, I think, or anyways, one of the passages in the Old Testament just about a week or so ago. And it hits me every time when I look at Moses sitting in front of the tent of meeting, out just a little ways away from the camp, and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud rests there. And Moses is talking to God as a man talks to a man in the presence of God. And then he leaves. But there's a young man named Joshua. And he can't leave. He just sits there in the presence of God. And you read Joshua chapter 1, and you're like, who is this guy? This guy didn't just show up. He didn't just show up in Joshua chapter 1. All of a sudden, it's like, we got a new leader. Hey, this guy looks good. No, he showed up a long time ago. He showed up every day in the presence of God, and he was molded And old patterns and old broken ways were broken from his life, and he became a courageous man, a man who selflessly led the children of Israel into that promised land. Why? Because he spent time in the presence of God, being molded and conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I love how the Greeks translated the Old Testament here in Leviticus. When they use the words, and they would be the word order that Peter would have used, because Peter would have probably pulled from the Greek Bible because it was accessible to them. And I love the words because it translates, "You shall be holy." I love it because it's like semi-prophetic and it's a command at the same time. It's God saying, no, you shall be holy. I'm commanding you to be holy, and you will be holy. Why? Because God's word never fails. Because when God calls his family to himself, what he has begun, he will bring to completion. Amen? It's a prophetic command. In closing, I just want to bring us back to the chair. Some of us are still wearing that old imprint. We get up and we're just like, there it is again. We've sat in those ways. We followed those old paths. We got pulled into those old ruts. And Peter is saying, break the mold. Not by chasing your guilt. Not by condemning yourself. Not by self-hatred, beating yourself up. He's saying, know this, you are my obedient child. You're like, God, I don't feel very obedient today. So no, you are a child who will be obedient to me because you are my child and my children are obedient children. And he says, don't go back to those old desires. I want your desire. I want your heart. Spend time in my presence. Open up the word. Don't rush out. Spend time in his presence and just enjoy that glory. And some of you might still be in the phase in your walk where you're just kind of like, I don't know, this is just all a bunch of names and numbers and I don't understand all of this yet. And I tell you, yes, this book it's something else. It's a lot to understand. But you have the Holy Spirit of God who will reveal to you in scriptures such incredible things that will transform your heart and mind. And one day you'll look back and you'll recognize that just as Joshua spent time in the presence of God, those times will redefine your life and what God has purposed for you. There's others of you here today, and maybe you, this is new. All of this is new. You might be visiting, or you might have been at Sweets for a while, and yet you've never made a decision to become a part of the family of God. You cannot clearly say, if you were to die today, that you would be with him. Your salvation is not sure. You somehow think that you're still climbing up a ladder to get good enough to be with God. That obedience is somehow walking up this faulty ladder, always fearful that it's going to break and fall apart. And I tell you, if you think you can get to God in your own merit, it will break and fall apart. But rather, you need to realize this. Jesus Christ has made the way. He is the bridge. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. There's no way to God except through him. And to come to God today, you need to simply call out to him and say, God, thank you for sending your son. Forgive me of my sin. Turn this life around. I repent and I want to follow you, Jesus. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit will meet with you there and you will be a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is all passed away, all things becoming new. And so that's my hope and prayer for you today.